The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, November 26, 2018.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holt, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, my co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Wow, coming here and we saw blue skies. Boy, that was refreshing. Wouldn't you say, my goodness, after this fire, I even have a little residual cough that if I cough every once in a while, please excuse me. It's just that all this bad air has really got to me. Anyway, I have two special guests with me, actually three special guests. Joining me on the phone will be singer, songwriter, and Grammy Award winner Maria Mulder. I am so excited about that interview. Also, and joining me in the studio is Kathy Johnson and Sabria Briere, who are members of the group called Indivisible, and we will be talking about the election and what took place and their part in it, and I would like to add the word their influence in it. I find Indivisible to be a powerful organization. It was formed in Sonoma County in January 2017, and they connect Sonoma County people with the power to influence their members of Congress and other elected officials. Boy, we need that, to influence our elected officials to keep their government on track. One of their goals is to make the government work for us, and we had a pretty interesting conversation about what that means, but we will go into that during the interview. And I think it's going to be two great interviews, and as you know, we are streaming on www.kbbf.org, so if you have some friends you'd like to give a call and have them listen, they can go ahead and stream. Thanksgiving, man, what a wonderful gathering it was. I decided that November was going to be my gratitude month, that I was going to be thankful for every little thing that I have. And I got to see the most greatest miracle that's happened to me in the last few months, is that everybody knows because I keep talking about it, is that now I'm a great grandmother to a beautiful young little baby, Satori Trinity Jensen, and I got to see her during Thanksgiving. And you know, I got to tell you something, as I held that baby in my arms, I just got this feeling that it was scary to me, and I thought to myself, my God, what if someone pulled her from my arms? What would that feel like? You know, it's really, we got to start thinking about the children. We got to start thinking about the future. You know, the way it's happening now, I mean, what kind of children are we raising? What kind of resentments are they going to have? Hatreds towards us? I mean, it just gives me the chills. So we really have to think about that. And you know, there's a very, very interesting program coming up this Sunday, December 2nd, talking about children. It's to learn what we can do about stopping the imprisonment of Palestinian children in Israel, and also what we can do about the separation of children at our own U.S. borders. I mean, I was reading in the paper this morning, and also I saw on a news clip that somehow they are, you know, they're tear gassing people and frightening them. And I'm not saying that it's right that these people are trying to come over. I'm not making that kind of judgment. The judgment I'm making is how we're treating them. There has got to be a better way than the way we are doing it. Well, something really sad. Thanksgiving was wonderful. I mean, we gathered. We had three families that joined together, and it was really a marvelous, marvelous experience. We all went around the table telling each other what we were thankful for. And the most amazing thing happened to me. My grandson, Ryan, who's the father of my great-granddaughter, Satori, what he was thankful for is that he came to the place where he could understand what women go through to give birth. And I was just overwhelmed when he said that, because he was 1,000% with his partner, his wife, while she was going through labor. And to hear him say that really expanded my heart a little bit, because oftentimes men do not understand what women go through and what a difficulty it is, what a hardship it is, and yet we bring forward these little miracles. And I believe each child is a little miracle. So how do you say this is a good kid and this is a bad kid? I can't fathom that. Prior to going to dinner, Ken and I found out our dear friend Joe Soja from San Jose passed away. You know, Joe had cancer, and he was just a great friend. We were so blessed. We would go to the accordion festival every year together. It was just so much fun. We would go with him and his partner, Carmen. And it was one of our conditions, our traditions, that we would go once a year. And I want to send my condolences out to the family in San Jose. And you know, a little shout out for Joe. He did a wonderful, wonderful radio show called Ethnic Connection, presenting music of the world down in San Jose for radio station KKUP. And Joe is going to be missed. I mean, you know, there are those characters that come into your life and suddenly they're gone. And you realize, you know, it's a gift. Each day of our life is a gift. You know, it's something to be enjoyed, something to be appreciated, something to be grateful for. And I think sometimes in this country, maybe across the globe, you know, life becomes very cheap. You know, but it's not cheap when you lose a family member, you know, when you lose a friend, you know, it has a great impact on you. So today, if you have a friend or a family member that you care about, make sure you give them a phone call and say, hey, I really love you. I'm really glad that you're in my life. Well, I have a few announcements to make. There's going to be this Sunday also, December 2nd, there's going to be Out of the Fire Benefit Concert and Silent Action. It's going to be at Sally Tomatoes. I love Sally Tomatoes. At 1100 Valley House Drive in Rohnert Park. It's going to be happening from 1 to 7 p.m. They're going to have all kinds of music, all kinds of food, and all the donations are going to be going to the victims of the fire that we recently had here. And they have quite a great array of musicians, Sarah Baker, Volker Steifer, Livy Lloyd, all kinds of Sonoma County activists and musicians. So that's going to be this Sunday, December 2nd, from 1 to 7 p.m. at Sally Tomatoes in Rohnert Park. A reminder, the monthly radical discussion group Unshackled, facilitated by Dr. Jacqueline Lawrence, an African-American woman who believes the key to unshackling all of us from our racism comes through open, honest, and respectable dialogue. Unshackled will be happening on Wednesday, December 5th from 6 to 8 at the Arlene Francis Center, 99 6th Street in Santa Rosa, and it's a free event. By the way, the Sunday event for Defending the Children from Palestine is also happening from 1 to 5, and that's going to be at the First United Methodist at 2150 Griffin Avenue, Santa Rosa, the corner of Stony Point and Griffin. And for folks who are interested in that topic, I'm going to also be interviewing them next week. We're going to talk about what kind of suggestions they come up with. How can we impact? What can we do to maybe, what's a good word? What can we do to enlighten these people? Children. They're innocent, you know. They come into the world depending on us, and it's very sad, some of the things that are going on. Well, this is the last Monday of the month. I can't believe it. Where did November go? It felt like all of a sudden it was November 1st. My daughter was calling me up and saying, hey, Mom, you got to make salad for 35 people for Thanksgiving. And here we are, the last Monday of the month. And you know what that is? That's when we do the pledge. You know, again, I want to remind my listeners, when we do the pledge and we come to the word higher power, put in whatever you believe is your belief system. I just use that. In fact, I'm gonna say great spirit today, because I believe in a great spirit. I believe in a higher power, and I believe there's something beyond us. On some levels, I think some of these fires that are happening and some of the tragedies that we're experiencing in our own country, maybe it's a way to open up our eyes to what it feels like to be in a war zone. So many people say, oh, it's like a war zone. Well, that's what a war zone looks like. So, and you look how people suffer. They lose their homes. They lose their family. I mean, it's tragic. That's why we have to stop it. We have to stop wars and start focusing on what's good on this planet rather than the horrors that we're creating. And hopefully, the idea behind the pledge is to help women to gain self-esteem so they can stand up and be heard. You know, I was listening to the radio station yesterday. They had some call-ins. And all the call-ins were men. I said, where are the women? Why are they afraid to call in? Why is it more men calling in and less women? Because women are afraid to speak out. We know our place, you know, go to the back of the bus, so to speak. So the idea of the pledge is to enhance our self-esteem and to just give us a thought. You know, we depend too much on everything outside of us. You know, do we have a good home? You know, do we have a, with me, it was my waistline. You know, I didn't have a 23-inch waist, so I was inadequate. I mean, all the different things that we put upon ourselves that don't really mean too much. Anyway, let's do the pledge together. And like I said, it's so funny. You know, here I created this pledge for my grandson, who is now a father. It's amazing. I'm sure my lady friends out there can all relate to that thought. Anyway, so let's do the pledge. And remember, I will say one line, and then you repeat after me. And for you folks driving in the cars, you know, just relax. Don't close your eyes. If you're at home, you want to find a comfortable chair to sit on to kind of relax and kind of absorb this. And I'm going to ask, I have three people in the studio with me, and I'm the fourth. There's four of us. We can all do the pledge together. So I will say the first line, you repeat after me, and then after that, I'm going to say the whole thing. So let's go. This is the Women's Spaces Pledge. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and the Great Spirit, or my higher power.
Oh,
I love that. Now just listen to it. Just take it in. Take in what we're saying. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power, or my Great Spirit, or whatever your inclination is. What a powerful statement. Now, what does it mean, my self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me? That means it doesn't matter what other people think of you. The most important thing is what you think of yourself. And what's so interesting, when you have people who think negatively of you, and once they get to know you, you will be surprised, as long as you stand up for yourself. So I'm going to say it one more time. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. What a powerful statement. And you know, I'll tell you something that's real interesting. As I was saying the pledge, and as I'm recognizing that I'm out here, out in the airways, I don't know if there's one person or 100 persons or 1,000 people listening to me. But one thing I would like to say, anybody out there listening, please support KBBF. You can make a donation by going on www.kbbf.org. Look up on the right-hand side and you'll see it says donation. And one of the things we would like to do is we would like to have a sustainer. We can be a sustainer for $3.99 a month or $4.99 a month. That means when you give us our credit card and we subtract that little amount every month. I call it give up a latte for KBBF. How's that sound? Give up one latte for the month for KBBF for Women's Spaces. And also, if you decide to become a member or make a donation and you mention that you heard it on Women's Spaces and you're doing it to support Women's Spaces, I will be happy to make sure that you get a Women's Spaces pledge card. And you can have it for your own. It's a wonderful, wonderful little card. People say they keep it by their computer. They put it in their bathroom. It's something to read every day. I mean, it's a very important pledge. Well, that's a lot to think about. You know, the beginning of the show is always kind of lots of good information. And remember, if you go on www.womenspaces.com, any announcements that I've made will be listed there. And I'm also going to have a little blurb about Indivisible, and we'll have a little more information about Maria Muldaur. Well, it's time to take that musical break, and the song I'm going to be playing, I found this that Maria Muldaur did, is called Yes We Can, and I'm excited to announce that when we return, we'll actually be talking to singer, songwriter, and Grammy Award winner Maria Muldaur. Boy, I'm excited. I'm not only excited, but in awe of the talent and how long she has been performing. And this song is perfect for Women's Spaces. So please enjoy.
Now is the time for all mankind to get together with one another. Iron out of problems and iron out of troubles, and try to live as brothers. Try to find peace of mind without stepping on one another. And do respect all the women of the world. Just remember that you all had mothers. We got to make this land a better land than the world in which we live. Help each man be a better man with the kindness that we give. I know we can make it, I know that we can, I know darn well we can work it out. Yes we can, I know we can, yes we can. Why can't we if we want to? Yes we can. I know we can make it, I know that we can, I know darn well we can work it out. Yes we can, I know we can, yes we can. Why can't we if we want to? Yes we can. We gotta take care of all the children, the little children of the world, 'cause they're our strongest hope for the future, all the little bitty boys and girls. We got to make this land a better land than the world in which we live. We gotta help each man be a better man with the kindness that we give. I know we can make it, I know darn well we can work it out.
Yes we can, I know we can, yes we can. Why can't we if we want to? Yes, we can.
Well, I know we can make it.
I can.
And I know darn well we can work it out.
Yes, we can. I know we can. Yes, we can. Why can't we if we want to? Yes, we can.
We just got to make it, y'all.
Take care of our mother, I'm talking about Mother Earth. Clean up all the pollution, y'all. Let's get together now and get to work. I know we can make it, I know that we can, I know darn well we can work it out.
Yes we can, I know we can, yes we can. Why can't we if we want to? Yes we can.
I know we can make it, I know that we can, I know darn well we can work it out.
Yes we can, I know we can. Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. For you just joining in, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM, Calistoga, Santa Rosa. I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my guest. On the phone with me is singer, songwriter, and Grammy Award winner, Maria Muldaur. Welcome, Maria. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Well, I can't tell you how excited I am. We're all excited in the studio here just to know that we will be talking to you. Is it okay? I want to tell our listeners just a little bit about you.
Okay.
Maria Muldaur is best known worldwide for her 1974 mega hit Midnight at the Oasis, which received several Grammy nominations and enshrined her forever in the hearts of baby boomers everywhere. During the folk revival of the early 60s, she began exploring and singing early blues, bluegrass, Appalachian, old-timey music. In the 44 years since Midnight at the Oasis, Maria has toured extensively worldwide and has recorded 41, oh my goodness, Maria, you've been busy, 41 solo albums covering all kinds of American roots music, including gospel, R&B, jazz, and big band, along with several award-winning children's albums. Her timely 2008 album, Yes We Can, and we just played a song, I believe, from that album, featured her Women's Voices for Peace Choir, which includes Bonnie Raitt, Joan Baez, Jane Fonda, Odetta, Phoebe Snow, Holly Near, and others. Maria continues to tour regularly worldwide and is available for festivals, concert, club dates, workshops, and residencies. She is now settled comfortably into her favorite idiom, the blues. Anything else you'd like to add, Maria? Anything to that wonderful, wonderful introduction?
Well, wow, that's a lot. I just want to let people know that that my 41st album just came out. I'm very excited about it. It's an album called Don't You Feel My Leg, The Dotty Body Blues of Blue Lou Barker.
Oh, wow.
And it's Don't You Feel My Leg was a song that I recorded on my very first album. It was the last song on side two of the same album that had Midnight at the Oasis on it. And Dr. John had turned me on to that song. It was written and recorded originally by a wonderful New Orleans blues woman named Lulu Barker. And it's that song has remained a favorite of my audiences in all these years. We always do it at our concerts because people want to hear it. And recently I had the opportunity to go to New Orleans and do a tribute album for the woman who wrote and originally recorded the song, because as I did some research, I discovered that she had written and recorded dozens of songs equally naughty, bawdy, funny, and clever as Don't You Feel My Leg. So the album's been out just a little over a month, but we jumped on the road right away. We did a 5-week tour to support the new album release, and we'll be at Cotati at a wonderful fairly new club called the Redwood Cafe this Friday, November 30th, debuting the songs from the album in the Bay Area for the first time. So it's a fun show, and people have been enjoying it wherever we play it, because the songs are just fun, and I think we need a dose of fun in this particular moment in time.
Well, Maria, you know, this is so exciting. I mean, we're definitely going to be down there on Friday to see you. But, you know, talk a little bit about your early beginnings. Who influenced you and inspired you? And where did you get, I mean, I've watched you perform. I mean, you have so much charisma and so much, you're so confident. Where did you get all that courage?
Courage? Well, when you're following your bliss and doing what you love, I don't know if it's an act of courage or just an act of supreme enjoyment. I just love American roots music. I first heard people like Hank Williams and Kitty Wells when I was 5 years old. My aunt loved what she called cowboy music and played it a lot on the radio. And the first song I ever learned to sing was It Wasn't God Who Made Honky Tonk Angels when I was 5 years old.
Maria, it's interesting because I was very influenced. I don't know if you remember this, the Spade Cooley show. And I wanted to be a country western singer. Well, where did you get your confidence to be able to become a recording artist? And what was the first song that you that became a hit, and how did that feel for you?
Well, you know, you get confidence by trying stuff out, and if people encourage you, you think, okay, I must be fairly okay at this. And so, from the first time I ever started singing, people seemed to enjoy it and encourage me, and I took what I did very seriously, and I just followed my bliss and followed a path of exploring various kinds of American roots music. I was heavily influenced by people like Bessie Smith and Memphis Minnie and all sorts of early blues artists and also country artists. I had a bluegrass band with David Grisman when we were both still teenagers, and you know, I do old-timey, all the stuff you mentioned when you were reading out of my bio there. And so I think confidence just builds as you get to realize you're learning your craft more and more, and you're learning how to be a better singer or performer or whatever, and then you get feedback from the audience. So I figure I must be doing something right, because all the 55 years later, people are still coming out to my shows and buying my CDs, and I'm still getting, you know, nominated for blues awards and Grammys and so forth. So I basically do this because I love it and because it uplifts people. I never got into the music field to become rich and famous. I had a moment of that when Midnight at the Oasis came out in 1974. It was a hit worldwide. People still remember me for that tune. But, you know, I've explored all kinds of other music before and since, and I continue to do so.
Well, it looks like you've
done... The point I wanted to make was that the reason I do this is because it uplifts people. I choose to do music that uplifts people. I consider music a healing art. And I tell you what, I used to go around the country. I always have a good band with me. I'm a pretty good singer after all these years. And so people have always come up afterwards and complimented me and say, oh, we enjoyed the show, or, oh, your band is terrific, or we love your voice, or so forth and so on. But in the last couple of years, there's been like a darkness that's settled over the land and over the spirits of a lot of people. And people don't just come up and thank me for entertaining them. They come up and grab my arm and look me in the eye and say, thank you. We really needed this. You know, so it's more than just entertainment. I love to play live because, it also brings the people in whatever locality we're in, brings them out together in community, and I think that's very important these days. So for all those reasons, that's why I continue to do what I do, and I'm just having so much fun with the new Blue material that I hope everyone will come out to the Redwood Cafe and enjoy it with us.
Well, you know, after doing 41 solo albums, I mean, you've been a busy, busy, busy entertainer. What is one of your fondest memories? I mean, give us a little, like, who was it that you met that you thought, oh, boy, I'm really excited about that and we're able to work with?
Well, I couldn't just pick one because I've been blessed to work with so many. I've been blessed to record with Hoagy Carmichael, Aaron Neville, Linda Ronstadt, Bonnie Raitt, on the cut you just played. That was Bonnie Raitt and a whole slew of wonderful other women artists, my sisters in music on that one. Phoebe Snow, I mean, you name it. Benny Carter and an all-star big band. I've just been blessed all these years. I've gotten to sing and record with the late, great Ralph Stanley, the godfather of bluegrass music. I've gotten to record with J.J. Cale, Dr. John. So your program isn't long enough for me to even name some of them.
That's pretty good, Marie. No, that's true. I mean, when I got news for you, when Shekinah Black sent me your bio, I thought, mm-hmm. Oh, my God, I condensed it in the best possible way that I could, but I was so impressed with it. Well, you know, there's so much that we could talk about. But now you say that you've just cut a new album, and this is what we're going to be listening to when you're performing here in Sonoma County?
Yes, well, I tell you, we always do certain songs, and touched on before, we always do certain songs that people's old favorites that they just love, and we know they'd be disappointed if they didn't hear them. That's what the band calls the Big Three. We always do Midnight at the Oasis. We always do Don't You Feel My Leg. And the other big favorite, believe it or not, is a big band swing tune called It Ain't the Meat, It's the Motion. So those three are always in there. Plus, we also, in our current show, do a little mini tribute to the late, great Alan Toussaint, one of America's great songwriters. Who wrote Yes We Can, as a matter of fact, as well as many, many other songs that were big hits for many other artists. And then a lot of the Blue Lou Barker material, which is just it's just naughty and tongue-in-cheek, but not in a vulgar way at all. It's just all, the songs were written and recorded in the late 30s, early 40s, but they're totally relevant today. And they're very hip. All of our music is very danceable. And there's room to dance at the Redwood Cafe, so I do hope people will come out with their dancing shoes on and be ready for a real fun evening.
Let me ask you, Ed, we're wrapping up this segment. You know, it goes by so fast. I mean, I can't tell you how honored I am to be talking with you and to share your stories with our listener audience. But is there anything, you know, any little secret or something you'd like people to know about you that, you know, that's real special? You know, anything, any special award or anything,
oh,
anything?
You can all go to my website and see all that stuff, lists of awards and nominations. And I've been nominated for a Grammy 6 different times. I haven't won yet, but I have my fingers crossed. Yet. I haven't given up hope. I might get nominated for this one. A secret about me. Well, if it's a secret, I want it to stay a secret. But just let them know that I always do an uplifting show that's good for the spirit and good for the soul and good to get people out to, you know, get out there and let out all their inhibitions and shake their booty around and just be together with people in their community. And that's what I'm all about. It ain't no big secret, but that's what I'm all about.
Well, I want to tell you something. You and I have a little bit of the connection. I don't know if you remember when you were at the Progressive Festival. You came over.
You sold me some beautiful lavender sachet.
right. And my husband gave you the wrong sachet, and I had it. Did you enjoy that?
Oh, I loved it. And I loved, that's the kind of event I really love to come out and be part of, is when people are coming together for a good cause in the community. And right now, with all the fire victims and all the many needs they're going to have for so long, there's going to be a lot of benefits. A lot of people in the art and music community are planning all sorts of things. And it's great when people come out and help their neighbors and fellow men and women to you know, to survive a dreadful disaster like that. And so I think there's going to be a lot of nice community events coming up that'll be good for the community and good for the people that need help.
Well, we're at the end of our segment. Can you give us your website?
Yes, it's www.mariamaldar.com.
Well, Maria Mulder, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for taking the time. And I look forward to seeing you, and I'm also have another sachet for you. What's your favorite color?
My favorite color would be blue.
Blue. Okay, we're gonna find something so beautiful in blue that you won't believe it. Well, thank you much.
Well, thank you, dear, and thanks for helping to let people know about our show, and we'll see you Friday night.
And thank you,
at the
and
Redwood
blessings.
Cafe.
And keep singing.
Oh, I will. I love it. I'm never stopping.
Thank you so much, Maria. It's just been an absolute pleasure.
Let me ask you this. Nobody sent you my new CD to play?
No.
Oh, Lordy B.
Well, we'll figure
let me
a
ask
way.
You this. Let me ask you this. If you send me your web, when is this going to air?
This will air. It's airing right now.
Oh, I see. Are we still on the air?
Yeah, I'll get you all the information.
Okay, well, what I was going to say is I'll send you a copy of the CD, and if you have a chance, you can play a few cuts of it later on in the week.
Oh, I would love to.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Maria Muldaur. Well, I was just talking to singer, songwriter, and Grammy Award. Well, I found out she's been nominated for 6 times for the Grammy, and I have my fingers crossed for her because she certainly deserves it. She will be performing this Friday at the Redwood Cafe in downtown Cotati, and I hope that we can all be out there. Thank you so much. Oh, my goodness, I just got the chills. I just interviewed Maria Muldaur, 6-time nomination of a Grammy. I can't believe it, but anyway, we're going to take another musical break, and I have this wonderful song. This is one of my favorite songs, and I think we're going to have time to play the whole thing, Ken. It's called It's Political, sung by Shannon Bree, which I think is perfect before we have our next guest on. Once we hear the song, oh my God, I'm just too excited. I mean, I was kind of holding my breath while I was doing this interview. When we return, I will be talking with Kathy Johnson and Sabria Briere, who are members of Indivisible Sonoma County, whose mission is, and I quote, "We mobilize and organize the people of Sonoma County by connecting them with the political process to fight for equality and justice." And we will be talking about Indivisible and the effect that they had on the last election. And as far as I'm concerned, this group is a demonstration of what we as a community can do when we come together, put our minds together, and put our fingers and start dialing. Anyway, let's go ahead and listen to It's Political, sung by Shannon Bree.
You must believe that we're invisible.
sure is political these days. I mean, it's really interesting. There's two things they tell us we can't talk about, and that's politics and religion. Two of the most influential things in our life, and we are not supposed to talk about it. Go figure, folks. If someone can figure that one out, please email me at elaine@womenspaces.com. Well, welcome back. You are listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. By the way, the B stands for Beverly, but it also reminds me I'm doing the best I can. I'm a beautiful child of the universe, and to be here now, and not to bully anybody, it's a good one. Anyway, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces. I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz, and without further ado, I want to introduce my guest, Kathy Johnson. Hello, Kathy.
Good morning.
Good morning to you, and Sabra Briere, welcome here to Women's Spaces. Welcome, Sabra.
Thank you, Elaine.
Oh, it's so wonderful to have you. Let me tell the folks a bit about you. I know you're both members of Indivisible here in Sonoma County, which is really an organization that the more I find out about it, the more impressed I am. And I know that you've had a huge influence on this election this year. So it's just amazing what we can do as a community. And I'm glad you're here to share that. So let me start. I'm going to tell my listeners just a little bit about you, Kathy, if that's okay. Kathy Johnson retired after 32 years of service for the Social Security Administration, and although political activism is fairly new to her, she always tried to be an engaged citizen and vote. She's been an active volunteer in her church and for several local nonprofits, but in November of 2016, her focus changed and she saw that political action was the best way to influence change and became part of Indivisible. Anything else you'd like to add, Kathy?
You know, Elaine, yes, thank you, and thank you for that. I always mention my grandchildren. They are the short answer for what influences me to do anything and everything. But I also am either afflicted or blessed, depending on your perspective, with that ethic that I have an obligation, as long as I have the energy mentally and physically, to make the world a better place in whatever way I'm able.
You know, it reminds me of Dr. Ford with the Kavanaugh hearings. She said almost the exact thing, that she felt that this is her calling and this was something, the right thing to do. Anything that you say you have grandchildren, how many grandchildren do you have?
I have two grandchildren. They're both teenagers, and like you and your great-grandchild, that's the starting point for your vision, both our hope for the world and our vision of needing to protect it and make it better for them and their peers and the other children I know and love.
And what are their names?
Haley is 8, just turned 18, too late to vote, but she'll have another chance soon. And Ember is 13.
That's my granddaughter's name is Amber. That's the one who gave birth to the baby girl.
Oh, boy. This is an Ember with an E.
Oh, E. She's an A. Yes. Well, thank you for sharing that, Kathy, and thank you so much for being here. And let me tell our listeners a little bit about you, Sabra. Sabra is a former Ann Arbor, Michigan resident who moved to Sonoma County last year, I believe in January. Am
yes,
I correct?
That's right.
Prior to moving here, she was a member of the Ann Arbor, Michigan City Council. And here, once she got into Sonoma County, she became immediately involved in the community and joined Indivisible Sonoma County at their first general meeting in January 2017. And you are right now sitting on their advisory board. She is an active member of the local Democratic Party and volunteers for the city. Sabra is passionate about free speech, education, the environment, civic responsibility, and brings her energy and her insights to our local issues here. Well, welcome. Anything you'd like to add, Sabra?
I'm one of those people who will not be having grandchildren. So what I do because it's the right thing. But I don't get grandchildren to do it for.
Well, I wrote a poem called I Am Women, I Am All Women, you know. And the idea that I have is that some of us have children, some of us have grandchildren, some of us don't. But the bottom line is that we're all working for the future of our children, and that's the most important thing. And I thank you for saying that, because the most important thing is, as women, we stand up for the children. Well, let's start this. You know, one of the things you said, let's start with you, Kathy. One of the things you said that something changed for you when all of a sudden, you know, you were active in your church, you were taking care of all kinds of different things, but all of a sudden you began to see political was the thing that you really had to get involved with. How did that happen, and what changed in you?
Presidential election, November 2016. Like virtually everyone else, I was stunned, shocked, and disappointed. I have always thought, I know we are not perfect as Americans, but always thought that we had some core values and that we were generally moving forward to achieve a better world for everybody. That election sort of turned my head around, and shortly thereafter, a good friend of mine persuaded me to go to Washington, D.C. for the Women's March. Very inspiring just to be. We stayed in Baltimore. Every hotel was packed. Everywhere we went, people would make eye contact, and there was a joy and an exuberance about working together with women and their allies, men, women, children, from all over the country, people getting together. So that was very energizing. And a couple of days after I got back was the first general meeting of Indivisible Sonoma County. I said, "There, that's for me."
And how about you, Sabra? How did you get involved all of a sudden in Indivisible? What was your motivation?
Well, I have been a Democrat since I could vote. And I was a party member, an active Democrat in Ann Arbor, not just somebody who voted for Democratic candidates. But what happened in 2016 at the presidential election motivated all of us. And it motivated us because we realized that we had been taking our politics for granted. We had been assuming that things would go on as they had been, and that it didn't need a lot of effort, and it didn't need a lot of attention, that it just would be okay. You know, you might step back this year, but you could step forward two steps another year, and it was okay. And then it wasn't okay anymore. For me, Indivisible was the answer. Because Indivisible was not waiting for the next election cycle to do something. It wasn't focused just on getting people in office. It was focused on working with our elected officials to help them understand how important their decisions were to our lives.
Talk a little bit then. Why don't you start first, Kathy, and then you join in, Sabra. Talk a little bit about what is it that Indivisible does.
One of the first and foremost things was establishing relationships with our members of Congress, and we are very fortunate in Sonoma County. On the whole, we have members who truly represent us, I think. And one of the first things that we did was start making phone calls, phone calls, phone calls, phone calls. And one of the things they have told us and their staffs have told us consistently is that those phone calls matter. And a lot of people are a little bit afraid to pick up the phone and call a congressional office. But you'd be amazed how much of a habit it can become. Pick it up. Call them again. Tell them what you think, because they do care and they are influenced by the numbers of calls and by people calling. So phone calls, issues. We were very issue oriented. We did establish relationships with all of our members of Congress and became much more active citizens. Many of us had never been involved in political activism at all. So we attend town halls and we meet with our members of Congress and their staffs. Generally, once a month.
Well, you know, we had a midterm. We just had an election. I mean, when I looked at the women that got into office, I was just amazed at the diversity, you know, and the intelligence group. Talk a little bit. Why don't you start, Sabra? Why don't you talk a little bit about exactly what Indivisible does? You know, here in this last election, What were some of the steps? How did you get people to go out and vote? I know one of the things that you had a meeting, and I think Mike McGuire was there, Thompson was there, I think even Jared Huffman was there, if I'm correct. You know, so you are attracting the politicals. They know that you're valuable, that you have value. But talk a little bit, as on this last election, what were some of the things that you did here in Sonoma County? And I understand you also reach out across the country. So talk a little bit about that.
I have to point out that Indivisible is not a Democratic supporting organization. And I mean by that, it doesn't support Democrats, period. And it doesn't do that kind of work. What it does do is work very hard to motivate people to vote and to feel that their vote is their voice and that their vote matters. So members of Indivisible, representing Indivisible, I'm not going to worry about what they do on their own time, have written postcards, made phone calls, sent texts, all to encourage people to vote. And during this last midterm, what we did was focus on people who are registered to vote but generally don't vote in midterms, and on people who were not yet registered to vote to get them to register.
Let me just ask you a quick question here. So you, what you're saying is that you don't take a position on a candidate. What you're doing is just encouraging people, whoever they are supporting, to go out and vote for. What if they ask you, what if they say, well, Sabra, who are you favoring? I mean, you know, what do you do in that case?
So it's not that Indivisible as a national organization doesn't endorse, and it's not that the individual Indivisible chapters don't endorse. They do. It's more that we have a nonprofit status, and so I would not say, vote for Elaine B. Holtz because she's great.
Oh, thank you.
I would not say that in a postcard. I would say, vote. And these are the important issues that we want you to support. And so we want you to support those issues. And it just so happens that Elaine B. Holtz is supporting those same issues. But we won't say that in a postcard. We know that
okay,
that's how you do
so
it.
So you would put the issues down, and then they would have to, in their own mind, say, okay, I looked at Elaine. I see that she's supporting this, so I might vote for her.
Yes.
Okay, but the most important thing is to encourage people to vote. Now, how did that work? What was the, I know
– It worked amazingly.
Well, tell us about it.
As a broad strokes, everybody's vote has not yet been counted. And so I can't tell you, even in California, how effective we were at who voted. But I can tell you that the midterms this year had a higher number as well as percentage of people voting than in decades. And that's significant because it was people like us doing that work.
What about Orange County? What was
Go right ahead and talk Orange County.
In Orange County, for the first time in memory, all the congressional representatives are Democrats. And while, as Saber said, we are not partisan specifically, one of the things that has been limiting our progress as a country has been all three branches of government being held within the same party. And now there is more diversity in the representatives' approach to what gets legislative attention, what issues are even being addressed when you have a more balanced executive, legislative, and judicial branch.
There's one more thing. Orange County specifically has always been treated as if it's only going to be voting in one direction. People live in Orange County who have felt powerless, uninvolved, unheard. And by our efforts to get them to vote, they realized, first, that we wanted to hear from them, and second, that they weren't powerless. And it was that turnout that made the big difference. Turnout was high in both parties. I think that that's really important, but it's equally important that turnout in the Democratic Party was really enormous, and Democrats historically have not voted in midterms.
Well, it's really interesting how quickly time goes by. So I'd like you to just quickly tell us, what do you got in store for the 2020?
We will continue doing what we've done and building our relationships with our members of Congress, and we will do more of the same for 2020. I'd like to point out that as tired as we were after the midterm election, the following day when there was action when there was a presidential action that elicited our response, we were back out on the street on Thursday afternoon because of the threat to the Mueller investigation by the dismissal of acting Attorney General Rosenstein and
well,
the appointment of.
You know, you
Whitaker.
Both have a lot to share, so I would like to know if at some point if you come back on the air again to get a little bit more in depth about the group. Give us our website real quick. Your website.
www.indivisiblesoco.com. And I will also point out that Indivisible this year, because we have people listening to us in Congress, it's going on the offense. It's actually going to be looking at a legislative agenda.
Oh, that's really exciting. Well, thank you so much, both of you, for being here. And segments go by really quick. I want to thank you for being here on Women's Spaces. And I also want to thank singer, songwriter, and Grammy nominee, Maria Mulder, for being such a wonderful guest, and to remind that she will be in downtown Cotati on Friday. A reminder to tell your friends that Women's Spaces will be aired again tonight at 11 p.m. I'm so excited. I get to listen to my own program. Also, I'm available for speaking engagements, and if you have any announcements, like you'd like to have a happy birthday or a happy anniversary, please email me at elaine@womensspaces.com. Remember, our children are the future, and we must never lose sight of that. This is Elaine B. Holtz, and you've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
She can wait so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you. Because the woman in your life, the woman in your life.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, November 26, 2018.